partigiano,
portami via.
Well, good morning. This is Per Fograng, and we have an old friend back with us. Paul Roland, our peripatetic paisano, is visiting us from his home and farm in Italy.
Buongiorno, Per. Come stai stamattina?
He's fresh from the nut farm in northern Italy there.
Nut farm?
Isn't that what it is? Isn't that what it is?
Yeah, chestnuts.
Chestnuts. Okay, all right. Well, anyway, so we're going to pick his brain and find out what's the latest events, what's happening in Italy these days. The thing that comes to mind is the end of Silvio Berlusconi, voted out of office, although he was hanging in there till the bitter end, but he's out, isn't he, I guess?
Hooray, hooray.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he finally did concede after digging in his heels for weeks and wanting recounts and questioning. I mean, it was an incredibly close election. It was like just razor-thin margin, kind of like the last two presidential elections here, or at least the 2000 one, anyway.
You know, for people who don't know who Silvio Berlusconi is, maybe you should give a little brief recap of his career. He's one of the richest guy in Italy.
He's said to be worth 12 billion euros, which is about, $14 billion or something.
And he owns all the media, practically.
Well, his history is very clouded, but I haven't really read that deeply into it. But what I've basically heard is that he kind of got his start possibly from like some mafia money is what basically the word is. You know, he was like some singer on these liners, you know, like these.
Oh, that's right, a cruise ship.
Cruise ships.
Uh-huh.
And somehow he got, I don't remember the story. He got his start with some real estate in the Milan area, you know, where he's from. And he parlayed that into this huge business empire. And see, he didn't come from money. So the question is, how did he get his start?
Right.
And the idea is that money, you know, was mafia money that gave him his first start. Then he became buddies as he built up this empire and became a big player. He had bought out newspapers, had publishing houses, advertising firms, insurance companies, this La Standa department store chain, became like a real estate and construction magnate, the Milan Football Club.
He's
the richest man in Italy, and he's got all these huge holdings, three private television stations. When they liberalized the law, there used to be a restrictive law restricting private ownership of media because, you know, had the RAI, the state-owned radio and TV, was basically the monopoly in radio and television. They liberalized it, and that allowed him to get into the market back, I believe, in the late 70s, early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up owning the three biggest private TV networks.
Well, with all this questions about him, will some of them get answered? I mean, hasn't he been on trial at least once?
Five or six times. Uh-huh. He's been accused of embezzlement, tax fraud, and false accounting, and attempting to bribe a judge.
Mm-hmm.
And he was acquitted, and there's some others. I don't know how many actual indictments and trials that encompasses. It's more than, there's like four or five or six. And he's been acquitted. He's been convicted, but then overturned on appeal, and on some, the statute of limitations expired. And he actually got his government passed a law shortening the statute of limitations for fraud, so that helped him out on at least one of those cases.
Can that be rescinded, maybe?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if there's something like double jeopardy, something,
right,
you know.
Okay.
I don't know. Italian law is a little bit of a mystery to me. I mean, but and then another law gave him and other top political people immunity from prosecution while in office, but that was overthrown by a constitutional court, so that didn't apply. But the one that's standing against him now, the only one that I know of, a number of his associates, Dell'Utri, Marcello Dell'Utri, an old friend, head of Publitalia, and a longtime senator, was sentenced to 9 years in prison just 2 years ago. Long, old-time friend of Berlusconi for external association with the mafia. Meaning that he wasn't himself mafioso, but he had some kind of dealings with the voice has been swirling around about Berlusconi, like there was about Craxi, was about Andreotti, the other two former prime ministers, about association with mafia. Because, you know, the mafia traditionally is a big player in Italian social and political life. You know, they've got a lot of money, and, you know, Italian politics, like all politics, runs on money, so there's a lot of mafia influence and others. So, well, what Berlusconi, you see, Berlusconi entered, the key thing to understand about Berlusconi, well, we can kind of finish with this chapter and maybe move on to talking about what the recent election means for Italy. He formed the Forza Italia party in 1993. That date is key, you know, 1989, fall of the Soviet Union, through the... Well, there's two key things. One was the fall of the Soviet Union and basically the disbandment of the Italian Communist Party along with the other Western European Communist Parties, right? Mm-hmm. And then the formation of basically new parties came out of that. The other was the Tangentopoli scandal, which you probably know.
I remember hearing about that. I'm not familiar with all the details.
Okay, Italian politics, like U.S. politics, runs on corruption. It's slightly different in Italy, but, you know, I think the dynamics are pretty similar, right? But, okay, so you had what they called a partyocracy. We had, you know, the center-right, which dominated Italian politics since World War II, since 1948. The CIA and overt U.S. support helped install the Christian Democrats power in 1948.
Sure.
Yeah, so it was one of the first covert operations of the CIA. So the U.S. has been involved in Italy from the very beginning, still heavily involved. So Italy is actually a very crucial... It's been a crucial, like, place on the border of Eastern Europe, and it had the strongest communist party in Western Europe historically. So it had, and there was great fear that it was possibly going to go communist, even through
elections. One of the honest politicians was Palmiro Togliatti, the communist leader.
That's right.
He's still remembered, as far as I know.
It's like we with this whole. Strange political culture in this country, you know, there's like a total misunderstanding of obviously what communism means because of the whole Cold War. But Italy has a political culture. I personally am not a communist. I'm different persuasion. But, you know, I have respect for the traditional, you know, there's a lot of, you know, these are this the working class power was very strong in Italy. And the Communist Party was very radicated, very, very rooted in the social fabric. In the factories, in the towns and cities, they had social centers where there was like a bar and a meeting room where people would go every night, you know, and meet. The Communist Party was one of the kind of the glues for working class culture.
They had provincial governments too. They had provincial governments too, didn't they?
They
had Bologna, I believe, didn't they?
Right, Bologna. They had heads of provincial, heads of regions. Yeah, I mean, there's the Tuscany, Emilia Romagna, and Piedmont and Liguria are historically strong leftists. But let me just get back to this history here. Mm-hmm. So Christian Democrats ruled Italy since 1948. And they had various challenges to that power. In the 1970s was one of the biggest ones where there was even attempted, you know, right-wing coup because they feared that the communists were going to take power through election and the U.S. was involved in that, et cetera, et cetera. It's a lot of stuff we can't get into. But basically these political parties and then the Socialist Party, which had split off from the Communist Party for historical reasons, ideological reasons, and started to go in a very different direction, very non-socialist direction in a lot of ways. And they actually joined up with the Christian Democrats because the socialists refused to go with the communists to form a power bloc that would probably have won power, And there must have been a tremendous pressure on them. So they split and they went more with the Christian Democrats. And Because the Christian Democrats never always had in a parliamentary system, you know, you have to have these coalitions because no one party has enough votes to rule. So you have these floating coalitions, and basically to fund the parties they need money obviously, but they didn't have like the kind of PAC system that they have in the United States, right? What they had were they're business associates. They're like satellites, basically companies, firms, you know, wealthy patrons that they would help get them contracts for like construction or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they would kick back some money, tangenti, bribes, kickbacks, right? Uh-huh. So that's what fueled, that's what basically funded the Italian political system, except for the communists had the Soviet Union, which was secretly and illegally under Italian law funding the Italian Communist Party, like there were a lot of communist parties. And so you had these two like power blocks. Well, at a certain point, somebody decided that this was an unsustainable system, and they wanted, like, because they wanted, they said it was like sort of archaic. It was like sort of this whole clientelism, putting your relatives, and just, it's a very, very like static kind of system that people thought, the people who wanted to modernize, Italy, that was like sort of in the dark age, political dark age. So somebody wanted to shake it up, and so they did. And this and that led to this Tangentopoli scandal, which they accused and indicted a whole part of the political class of Italy. This is around like 1993, 94, 95. Mm-hmm. So Craxi, longtime major player, head of the Socialist Party, was disgraced. He was like the main one. A whole bunch of people ended up in prison from these various parties, especially the Christian Democrats and the Socialists. Those two parties were dissolved, the Socialists and the Christian. I mean, can you imagine? These are the major political parties other than the Communist Party. They dissolved. So the whole political situation was totally shaken up in Italy in that time period. Well, Forza Italia was formed in 1993 out of both this new milieu in Italy, the dissolution of the old political framework. And both the Communist Party dissolving and the Tangentopoli shaking up. So that's what led to Berlusconi entering into it. Plus the fact that he already had some court cases against him, and he wanted to get into political office to insulate himself and pass these laws that he ended up doing, passing those laws.
Well, apparently. So, okay, now he's out of power.
So then he was elected prime minister in 94. He was till 96 when his coalition fell apart, which is made up of Lega Nord, which is this xenophobic, anti-immigrant, racist Northern League party, and the ex-fascists, the ex-MSI, now called the National Alliance. And those were the three major parties, along with a couple of minor ones. And they fell because of infighting. And so then the center-left ruled until 2001, and then he was elected again in 2001. He lasted till now. So now he's out by this razor-thin majority. So who knows exactly what's going to go, but it is a different situation. Well,
apparently, speaking of the communists, I guess ex-communists are were elected as president. The president is a fellow named Napolitano, who he's a former communist, but he's highly regarded. I mean, the Morning News had a very kind of a really positive profile of this guy. He's sort of above par.
Well, I think it's kind of. Well, I don't know that much about him, so unfortunately, I can't speak very much about him. Mm-hmm. I'm not like a real political expert.
But who's the other guy you mentioned, Bertinotti?
Well, it's just ironic. I think it just Berlusconi must just be just seething, because he made his career on anti-communism. That's what Forza Italia was like formed, and his whole rhetoric, even to the present, when there's actual communist parties are really a very minor part of the political reality in Italy, still continues.
Still a boogeyman.
Still a boogeyman, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's, and Bush must be not too happy.
another friend drops out of the.
Oh, yeah. Well, Berlusconi totally supported. He sent.
Sure.
He was one of the willing in the coalition of the willing.
Think there's any chance of Berlusconi getting indicted or anything now that he's kind of out of power?
Well, he is indicted. He's under indictment. He's there's an ongoing case for him having bribed this guy David Mills, whose wife was a cabinet minister.
We kind of covered this on Radio Free Ireland. I guess his wife is the culture minister, and I think Berlusconi gave him something like £350,000 or something to pay off their house, and the couple they split up, saying that it had nothing to do with the scandal. It was just going to happen anyway, but.
He apparently paid this guy David Mills money so he would give favorable testimony in a couple other corruption trials that had been ongoing, one of which involved like film rights for his TV stations, like these old Hollywood, vault films, archival films. And there's some scandal involved with that, some kind of kickback scheme or something. I don't remember. But, so anyway, that's ongoing, that particular thing. So whether that's going to, you know, continue. You know, the problem is that there's, you know, it's such a thin majority, and, you know, the ironic thing, though, is that it would be a much thinner majority, but two laws that Berlusconi passed actually went against him in the election. I don't know if you heard about that, but this 50-50, because there's two, you know, two chambers. There's the deputies, the House of Deputies, and the Senate in the Italian government system. And the House of Deputies, there's no matter what your margin of victory in the House of Deputies, you get an automatic 50 deputy bonus, the coalition that wins.
Mm-hmm.
So they would have had just a few margins of deputies, you know, in the majority, but they have many more because they get this 50 bonus, which Berlusconi passed because he thought he would be on the other side of this scenario now.
Right.
So, and then in the Senate, they passed a law allowing Italians abroad. So there's maybe some Italian American listening to this show or Italian who actually voted in the election because they couldn't before.
Any chance that Congress, their equivalent of Congress, can do an investigation? Do they have parliamentary investigations?
They have parliamentary commissions,
commissions. So that could happen too then?
Yeah, well, there was an old parliamentary commission. I was just reading this. I was just doing a little internet search to cram for this interview here, but because he was named as a member of the P2 Masonic Lodge.
Oh,
that?
Yes.
Berlusconi, when that came out in 1981, they were like this ultra-right wing, you know, trying to like move the government towards an authoritarian direction.
Oh, include all sorts of top officials, Vatican people, you know, the Catholic Church supposed to excommunicate Masons, but they had some people in this lodge, didn't they?
Right, well, you know, power makes strange bedfellows, as they say. But so this P2, he was shown to be a member, and they had a parliamentary commission look into that. And Berlusconi had said that he had only recently joined P2 and that he hadn't even paid his membership dues, he said, you know. But it turned out not to be true because of this parliamentary commission. There's like an anti-mafia parliamentary commission. And then there's, they could and should do a parliamentary commission they should do a Tangentopoli too, basically, is what they should do. Or actually, as Mani Puliti, clean hands, was kind of the investigation into the Tangentopoli scandal. But you asked me about Bertinotti, so maybe I'll get into that for a second. When the Communist Party disbanded, I think it was like 91. You know, the Berlin Wall fell in 89, right, November 89. I think they disbanded in something like 91. They basically split off into like two groups. One was the PDS at the time, now Democratici di Sinistra, the Left Democrats, which has kind of become basically like a neoliberal, kind of semi-social democratic neoliberal party. You know, I guess like the Blair wing of the Labour
Sounds
Party.
Like it, yeah.
It's like the Blair wing of the Labour Party in England. That's like the dominant. They get like, I don't know, 20 to 25% of the total vote in the elections. And Forza Italia gets like 25 to 30. You know, National Alliance gets like 15. Anyway, and then the other... They were like the biggest split off. And the other split off was kept the name Communist, refounded Communist, Rifondazione Comunista. And they're like more of the sort of traditional, you know, workers' party. Although the workers, you know, workers' power has been dramatically, you know, diminished in Italy through a lot of, you know, overt and covert, you know, disempowerment of the unions, this whole temporary work, like these, I think, I'm not sure if man, but I think manpower actually is in Italy, I believe.
You know, really?
There's been a whole fight against temporary, but it's really infiltrated the whole Italian political situation. And, you know, privatization of a lot of state companies, and like the railroads, these big state industrial consortiums have all been privatized. So, and that was all done complicitly with the first Prodi-led government back in the late 90s. And so I don't see much hope from them. The interesting thing is, and Prodi himself, the head of who won the coalition, he's actually next Christian, because Christian Democrats actually had like a right wing, a center, and a left wing. You know, so he's kind of from the liberal wing of the Christian Democrats. And he's, you know, they're the kind of the face of the electable face, which they saw of this coalition, because, you know, somebody like Bertinotti, obviously, as their leader, would not, they probably wouldn't have won the elections. And he was like head of the European Commission when they oversaw to the going to the euro, and you know, he's respected among, you know, among the political, the business and political class that became disenchanted. A lot of the business class became disenchanted also with Berlusconi, because basically, just on their own terms, he didn't live up to any of the promises, you know, to get the economy moving again. It's been, you know, static for like 20 years, I think, from classical economic terms, which I don't believe in. But so Bertinotti is the leader of refounded communists, and he was elected to the president of the House, which is like the third highest position in the state. There's the prime minister, there's the president of the republic, who was this guy you're talking about, also an ex-communist. He's with the DS, the more liberal wing. So you have two of the three top, you know, positions of the state now from our ex-communists, which is...
It's interesting, yeah.
It is interesting, you know. So, what I was just reading an article just before I came, which I think is the thing that listeners might be most interested in here in Portland, is that, you know, you get this opportunity to, you know, first certainly get the Italian troops out of Iraq, which will be another blow, you know, to U.S. world hegemony and all, you know. You know, you've got all these military bases. You've got, I don't know, like 20-some U.S. military bases in Italy.
Oh, sure, right.
Yeah, and they're not all that popular with a lot of Italians. You know, there's nuclear submarines. There's some pollution issues.
Well, then some U.S. fighter cut that ski lift, and a lot of people got killed,
But that was just one in a long series
right,
of
yeah.
incidents, you know? And just the arrogance of the U.S. And then, you know, the woman, you know, who was
Zgrena,
When Calipari, the guy who, the carabinieri, I guess, who was killed, you know, defending, you know, putting his body in front of her.
Right, yeah.
The U.S. just refused, because the Italian magistrates actually subpoenaed the people. And they wanted to actually put the soldiers who shot on trial. And they know the name because of a stupid technical slip-up, computer slip-up. They actually got the name of the person who actually fired the shots, who's actually ironically Italian-American. But the U.S. just the last week refused to officially release the names of people involved in that incident. So it's a long history of U.S. arrogance, plus them coming in, CIA coming in, taking people.
I was going to ask you about that. Yeah, that brings up the CIA, the kidnappings.
Yeah. And they actually have subpoenaed the CIA agents in that, too. So there's a lot of these things that historically Italy has been very reluctant to directly confront U.S. power. But now, you know, who knows? I mean,
maybe they will, yeah.
The key thing is whether, because Bertinotti is an interesting figure. He's a devout Catholic, ironically, for a kind.